We're going to start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I believe it's got 15 verses in chapter 9, and then chapter 10's got, I think, 18 verses. But we're going to start in 2 Corinthians 9, and he's talking about giving and how we will be blessed if we give. I don't very often teach on these things, but we need to because it's in the Word of God. But he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, the NLT, it says, I really don't need to write to you about this gift for the Christians in Jerusalem. Then why is he writing it? Because he thinks we're going to do what we're supposed to do. But do people always do what they say they will do? No, they do not. That's just like I tell you, if you cannot fast and pray the day you said that, then don't take that day. Because God says, if you make a vow to do something for me and then you don't do it, he says, I will be upset with you. So I'm going to tell you, if I thought I couldn't do something, I would never say I could. Is that right? So if I tell God I'm going to do something, with the best of my knowledge, Richard, I'm going to do it. Is that the way you are? Because we don't make a vow to the king and then not fulfill it, do we? No, we really don't. But anyway, I really don't need to write to you about this gift for the Christians in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help. Boy, that must be a good church. Are we eager, or should we be eager to help other people with whatever need they have? Sure, because we're Christians. You know, that's the way we should be. We should just be eager. We shouldn't just be a little bit excited about helping people. We ought to be really excited about helping people, whatever. And I have been boasting to our friends in Macedonia that you Christians in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. Wow. Boy, you can tell they didn't have airplanes back in those days, can't you? A year has come and gone. And can you imagine that if we were still back in the horse and buggy days? Say we were back in the 1910. Almost nobody here. I guess nobody was alive in 1910. But you know, 1910, there was no cars. You know, I mean, nobody had a car in 1910. We had wagons and we had horses. Can you imagine if somebody had asked us to come to San Francisco, California to preach the word and we had said, yes, we will do that in 1910. You have any idea how long that trip would be? About 3-4 months, huh? And I'm sure it would definitely be an eventful trip, don't you? In other words, if you got hungry, it's not really a little 7-Eleven or a restaurant on the side of the highway. You can just stop and have lunch every once in a while, is there? You know, today, we forget how things used to be. I mean, we are so blessed today. I mean, we are so blessed. When I think about, you know, how we grumble about something today, and it's so easy to grumble because I don't have 110 channels on my TV. I only got 20. I'm just so upset. We grumble about some of the stupidest things, you know, whereas I can remember when my son and I was, when I was raising my children, when we were raising our children, one Saturday morning, my son and I were sitting there watching the Roadrunner on TV, cartoons. And he said, Dad, he was just a little guy. He said, Dad, what was your favorite cartoon on Saturday morning when you were a little boy like me? I said, son, there was no television when I was a little boy like you. Oh, Dad, don't tell me that. Television's always been here. See, they don't know, do they? And some of you in this room right here are old enough, to, like me, to remember when there was no television, right? And some of you can really remember when there was no fax machines and no cell phones and all this stuff. We can't live without a cell phone today, can we? If you were, the privilege was withdrawn from you to not be able to have a cell phone, you'd rather do without food than not have your cell phone. Isn't that amazing, the things that we have seen? But yet today we grumble about all kinds of things, and we shouldn't do that at all. But he says, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of them to begin helping. See, if it was their enthusiasm that stirred up many of them to begin helping each other, if we start praying in our church and do something for 40 days, and somebody will pray and fast every day, even just one day for 40 days, Tom, I believe with all my heart our Lord will do something wonderful for this little church. Don't you? Yeah. I mean, he honors fasting and praying. And I think myself, I mean, whenever I first, of course, raised up as a Baptist, nobody ever taught me. Just like Paul said in his word, I'd read it. He said, I fast often. I thought, oh, okay, I'd read that, but I didn't think I had to do that. I fast often. But I didn't dream that we could fast and still get God to do things that we couldn't get Him to do unless we did fast. And so I didn't know that until when I really began to research the Scripture and found how many places the Word of God says we need to fast and pray. In fact, when Jesus says, when they said, how come we couldn't heal this little boy? He said, because you have so little faith. Well, Lord, how do we get that kind of faith? He says, by fasting and praying. So there's got to be something to this fasting and praying thing, right? If the more I fast and pray, the greater anointing God puts on me, that ought to put a desire in my heart to want to fast and pray, right? That should make us hungry. That's right, because do we love to see God answer our prayer? Yeah, don't you too? Yeah, I do too. I love it. And so the thing about it is, before you take that one day of fasting, be sure and ask the Lord to take away your hunger pain. You know, because it's a piece of cake if you ask Him, because He knows what you have need of even before you ask. But you know, you'll be like this young man from Houston. Him and his wife come over to Dallas one time, and I happened to be teaching on fasting and praying that day. And so when he left there, he told his wife, honey, we're going to fast and pray. Now, Thurman showed us in the Word of God where God will do great things for us. We're going to fast and pray. So we go home and we're going to do a 3-day fast. And so she said, we get up on, I think it was Friday or Saturday morning. They were going to do this over a weekend. And I think it was Friday morning. He got up and said, okay, we're fasting and praying today. And we're going to do this 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. She said, by 10 o'clock, he says, I'm so hungry. I can't stand this. My stomach's growling. I'm never going to make it 3 days. She said by noon, he was almost in a rage. But she said by 6 o'clock at night, he said, I don't know how Thurman does this, but I can't go. I've got to have something to eat. And so they couldn't make it. So Friday afternoon, when the evening meal was, she had to fix supper, and they ate. He said, I don't know how in the world he can go 3 days without eating. And so when they came back to church a few months later, he was a truck driver, and they only come through every few months. He came to church. He said, how in the world do you fast and pray? I said, well, did you ask the Lord to take away your hunger pain? He said, no. I said, well, what do you expect? I said, you know, your flesh is in control. The Lord's not helping you because He knows what you have need of even before you ask. Since you didn't ask, I said, you didn't get nothing. So I said, you know, before you start the next one, I said, be sure and ask the Lord. Lord, we're going to do a 3-day fasting and praying over a long weekend to fast and pray so we can spend more time and have a more intimate walk with You. So we ask You, Father, in Jesus' name, to take away our hunger pains. And I said, don't forget to say, thank You, Lord, for taking away our hunger pain. And then start. Did He say do all things with prayer and thanksgiving? Is that what He said? So we do it His way, not ours. Do it His way. So a few months later, a couple of months later, they were up there, and he said, my goodness gracious, what a difference. He said, I asked the Lord to take away our hunger pain. He said, we got up Friday morning. I went through all day Friday, never had a single hunger pain, 6 Saturday, all through. He said, Sunday afternoon at 6 o'clock when the thing was over, I thought, Lord, this is so easy. I ought to go 3 more days. He said, it's amazing how the Lord took away all my hunger pains for 3 days. I didn't have a single hunger pain for 3 days. Well, when Cheryl and I, the longest fast Cheryl and I has ever done together, I had done a lot of shorter fasts, 3, 5, 7, 12, 10, 14, but I had never done anything longer than, I think, 14 days until we got married. And when we got married, Cheryl wanted to go on a 40-day fast, just she and I. Well, we did pray and asked the Lord to take away our hunger pains, and we made it 18 and a half days without a single hunger pain. I mean, we didn't eat a bite of food for 18 and a half days. And the only reason we stopped the fast when we did is because the Lord spoke to me audibly and told me that my fast was over today. He said, son, you're to stop. I didn't know why, but anyway, I said, okay. So I go home and tell Cheryl. I said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, we're to stop. Well, I do know why, of course, but according to Luke 6:40, I know He told me why that I was required to stop. He said, I said in Luke 6:40 that no servant can go above their master. He said, your master's Jesus. And he said, I didn't even ask Jesus to work and pray or whatever and fast. I sent him into the wilderness to fast and pray. And you're trying to carry a full load. I mean, you're working 12 and 14 hours every day, 7 days a week here in the ministry. And he said, if I allow you to go 40 days, you will have exceeded what your master did. And he said, I will not allow that. So he said, your fast is over. So I go home, tell Cheryl the fast is over. And she says, no, we're not stopping. We're going on. So you don't argue with a woman that's that determined, you know. So I said, okay. So I didn't say anything else to her until about 1 o'clock in the morning. We went to bed that night. And of course, I'm laying there and I don't hear nothing. She's quiet and I'm quiet. And we lay there, I guess, an hour or something. And all of a sudden, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I kind of scoot over to the edge of the bed and I started to get up. She says, where are you going? I said, oh, I didn't know you were awake. She said, yes, I have not been able to sleep. I said, well, me either. I said, I'm going into the kitchen and I'm going to make me a cup of hot tea and I'm going to put honey in it. She said, honey, that'll break the fast. I said, I know, but the Lord told me today our fast was over, so I'm going to obey him. She said, well, in that case, I'll get up and make us a bowl of tomato soup or something. We'll have a bite to eat. So we did. We got up and had a little bowl of soup and went back to bed. 18 and a half days was the longest we've ever gone together on a fast, but we neither one had a single hunger pain. Of course, the next 3 days later, we had been eating normal and we had to go out of town to preach. And then I realized why the Lord told me the fast was over, because Cheryl, she's a woman. She's not near as strong physically as I am. I mean, as soon as I started eating after one day, I'm back full strength. I can do anything. But 3 days later, Cheryl still couldn't even drag her rolling suitcase. You know, I had to carry it for her. And now I know why the Lord says today your fast is over. Because he knew if we'd have went 3 more days, she wouldn't have been able to go with me out of town. She would have had to have stayed at home. So she was so weak. But anyway, it took her a couple more days, and then she got okay. But when the Lord tells you to do something, what do you do? You do exactly what he says. You don't argue with the king.
You've been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled My Weapons Are the Word of God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.